Heights and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Mights podcast. Tights and
Tights and Fights.
So you have the script.
Yes, I'm hosting. Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm Danielle Radford, here with fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Hal Lublin and Mike Eagle. I'm just saying your names.
Thank you.
What up?
I'm just excited to say your names. This is really exciting for me. It feels like that thing when, like, you bring the person you're dating back to meet your friends. You're like, hey, guys, what did you think, right? He's, like, so funny and, like, so cute. Did you like him? So today we are here to talk all about Lucha Underground, the wrestling show on the El Rey Network, and is now streaming on Netflix. So, I'm so excited. So first off, how much of Lucha have you guys seen in your spare time? Like, how much had you seen before this?
3 minutes total.
Three to 5 minutes. Full-ass minutes.
I watched part of a backstage segment that I did not like, and then I watched part of a match, which I did like.
Okay.
Because I like wrestling.
Yay!
I've watched maybe 4 or 5 episodes total before.
Whoa.
Probably, yeah. Probably. When it first premiered, I was so excited about it that I tried to watch that whole first season. I just was drowning in wrestling programming at that point, so I kind of just gave up.
God, it's like there's even more now.
Yeah.
There's even more now.
Lots of homework.
Because that was back when SmackDown was skippable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yike.
But that's when I used to watch NXT every week, though.
Right. Which I still try to do, unfortunately.
I do.
I still try to watch NXT every week. So I just have to go back and, like, watch. I usually wind up having to go back and watch it. Like, I'm cleaning my house on Saturday. It's an NXT day.
Who's good on NXT right now? This is a departure.
Everybody. Oh, man, it's
departure,
so good.
Yeah?
It's really good.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody.
Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yeah. So, going back to Lucha. So, what did you think of Lucha when you first started watching it? And then what did you think of, like, this match?
I enjoy the thought put into the storylines and the characters. I really enjoy what they're able to do in terms of masking the characters and giving them these identities and building stories, like, kind of with a clean slate.
Right.
And getting people emotionally invested based on that. As I've said on this program before, I was very thrown off by the intergender action.
Yeah.
And even watching this time, I was like, oh, yep, there it is again. That's the part that always leaves me a little, just a little uncomfortable. And I feel like the more I watch it, the less I feel that way. But initially, there's always that little bit of, whenever a man knocks the holy hell out of a woman on Lucha Underground.
That's fair. I get that. What did you think, Halbert?
I have to choose my words carefully.
They're going to get you.
They're going to get you.
They're going to
get
you.
My goodness.
Get.
For goodness sakes, God forbid I don't respect this. Look, again, the way they shoot the backstage and angle stuff, I have a problem with the same way I have a problem with how TNA does it. It just feels like they're pulling it out of their ass, and they don't trust me to just follow along a simple storyline. Like, it has to be dressed up. That I don't care for. That being said, the wrestling is great. They have super talented wrestlers, mm-hmm. many of whom would not be given a fair shake in WWE, which sucks because a guy like Ricochet/Prince Puma is a super talented guy, but because he doesn't weigh 250 pounds and isn't 6'4", the chances of him getting over with Vince mm-hmm. would mean that he would have, those chances being low means there's a low chance he would get over on the main roster until Vince is no longer in control of the company. And that's a shame.
Apparently they want him, though.
I'm sure they do.
But
I bet Triple H wants him.
Yep.
Yeah, and
he's, Regal.
He's very much like, I'm not doing 205 Live. Like, if you're putting me on, you're going to give me that Finn deal or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one thing I will say about the backstage segments, it's one of the things that I appreciate the most about Lucha because it's meant to be like a TV show, like a right. movie. And then there is also wrestling in an audience later. But that's the thing that I appreciate about it. Because I think that that's what happens when you take someone who, and obviously, like, he doesn't do everything on it, but when you take someone like a Robert Rodriguez, who's like, make me a wrestling show, you get to have those elements that are more cinematic. And for me, just because it's so incredibly different than everything that's happening on WWE, where it's just like, interviewer shoves a mic into your face, blah, 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 hate that guy. And then you like walk off. I like that you get these very cinematic moments, and you get things like a woman who was the personification of death that sometimes teleports away. Like, those are the things that you can have when you have something that's a bit more like dressy.
Yeah, there are plenty of people in every wrestling promotion who are just not good promos, right?
Right.
They try as hard as they can, and they could be great in the ring, but not give a good promo. And UHA Nation / Apollo Crews is a great example of that. He's not a particularly compelling promo, and that's part of the reason why I think for me, who's someone who is relatively new to his work, at least seeing what he's doing at WWE, it comes across as flat until he gets in the ring. Because in mm-hmm. the ring, he's really talented.
And he shines.
So giving him just a promo, that limits how much damage he can do to his character for me. Hmm. When I watch bad acting, and let's face it, there is some porn-level acting going on in that show.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
So, but if
but for me, that's a feature, not a bug.
If you like it, for some people it's a feature. For me, it is a bug. Because I know that they can perform between the ropes.
Right.
So when they're really great between the ropes and then their acting is terrible, and that becomes like a separate thing, like now we're going to do some weird sci-fi space, like Lucha soap opera, that does not – I get how it's different.
Yeah.
But just because it's different to me
– Yeah, it doesn't necessarily –
as a person – does not mean it is good.
Yeah, for me, it's just like if I embrace that Robert Rodriguez-ness of it and that pulpness of it, where it's like it's a B movie, but right. but also with wrestling, it's like literally everything I've ever wanted a TV show to be. Because y'all know, and I've talked about this a million times, I love bad movies, but it can't just be any bad movie. There has to be certain things that make it, that transcend it. There's a reason why The Last Dragon is good, but Snakes on the Plane is fucking terrible. It's got to have real spectacle. It's got to be made with real heart. It's got to have real people who really care about what they're doing and who aren't just trying to get that irony money. And so for me, Lucha hits all of those points where, like, yeah, the acting is terrible and it's over the top and it's ridiculous, but like those are the parts that speak to like my little soul. Like for me watching this, it is kind of like getting to watch like a different wrestling version of The Last Dragon. Hmm. And like that's what I appreciate about it. And so now going on from just talking about Lucha, the episode that we decided to watch, that y'all voted on, was season 2, episode 9, also known as Aztec Warfare 2.
The rules, two fighters will enter. Every 90 seconds, another fighter enters. As the pool increases, the only way to be eliminated is pinfall or submission. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Aztec Warfare. Anything goes, and whomever survives will be the Lucha Underground Champion.
So for those of y'all who don't know, Aztec Warfare is essentially, and I'm going to do this a real short one because we don't have a lot of time for me to talk for 20 minutes.
Like they did.
About what Aztec Warfare is. But essentially, Aztec Warfare is like a Royal Rumble match, except there's no going out. Or like you can go spill out all over the place. There's no worrying about going over the top ropes, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I've seen this thing a million times.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just pinfalls.
Only pins or submissions.
And submissions. Yeah.
Yeah, pins and submissions. And so, you know, every blah, 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 few seconds, somebody new comes in. And so that was the thing that we watched. So what did you think specifically of the Aztec Warfare match?
And how many have they had of these now? Like three, I think?
Three, yeah. I believe I was at this last one, but it's so... I've been to so many Luchas, you guys. I can't even like remember.
Sexy Star won the last one, right?
Aztec Warfare? I believe.
Now that had to be number three,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it would have been number three.
Because that's... I saw that one before, mm-hmm. and I love this match concept. I wish the Royal Rumble was pinfall, elimination, or submission, because the flexibility that allows in terms of being able to have singular action in the ring and people kind of around the ring doing different stuff.
Yes.
I think is just really great. It really expands the amount of story. And it just lessens that feeling that we have in the Royal Rumble where like eight people are just hanging out in the ring trying not to do anything because it's not their turn to be eliminated.
Right. Everyone just chilling in the corner. Like, I guess we just live in this corner
and
now.
Doing the thing where like, I'm going to throw you over. Yeah, I have one leg over. Yeah. See?
So, yeah. So, I mean, just in terms of how far it lets them take the narrative, I really love the match design.
Yeah. What did you think?
Yeah. I like it, too. I like scramble-type matches. I like Royal Rumbles. I don't have the same like, I get that Royal Rumbles have a lot of rest spots, mm-hmm. but good ones, that happens in service of really great moments and stretches and runs. So, they're telling a series of stories, which they did here as well. I like it as an original concept. The one thing that really had me kind of rolling my eyes was when the referee did the double three count. Like, it's cute. No. It's cute.
No, you know,
I guess I didn't have a big problem with it, but it was just sort of like, yeah.
You know, they do that a lot in Lucha Libre, though. They do a lot of, like, choreographed, like, three-on-three submission pin, like, a lot of, and that, I don't like that either. I really, like, that takes me out of it when it's too choreographed like that as well. My only issue here, my one thing with the match design is that because it allows singular action in a ring, I found that every time they were doing a countdown, it was like during somebody doing a big spot in the ring that like nobody was paying attention to.
Right.
Where in the Rumble, everybody kind of chills and rests when they hear the countdown start.
Right, because you're waiting for the next person. There's a little bit of that here and there. Also had a problem, and this is with me not being familiar with the product, but I think it also speaks to... Maybe it speaks to they spend too much time doing soap opera and not enough time establishing face and heel in that watching it. It took, like, I know Rey Mysterio's a face. There's no way he's anything but a face.
Right.
But there were people who came in, and I cannot remember their names, where I did not know whether they were a face or a heel. I just assumed everybody with a mask was a face. Was I right?
Well,
except for Montanzo.
No.
They do.
But close.
Rudos and Technicos, yeah. Right?
Right.
So Rudos are heels and Technicos are faces. Yes. I know, and this is one thing that really kind of weirded me out when I was paying attention to it, was that in one case, they isolated Rudos as Jack Evans, Mundo, and Taya. So it was just like all the white people.
Right.
Like, so they were just like, were they default heels? Are they heels on purpose? Like, I kind of noticed like this kind of racial thing happening. I didn't know.
They're heels on purpose. They're the Worldwide Wrecking Crew. There's like a bunch of them. There's a group of them. And part of it is they're just these rude dudes with toots who come in and who have no respect for anything and have no respect for lucha or anything else. Like, they
are
just
want
to come in and win shit. Worldwide Wrecking Crew, yes.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Mm. There's no way that's not... I don't know how much they really, like, talk about that. Now, Mundo and Taya, they obviously, like, they work AAA all the time, and so does Jack Evans. But in this... But I think of it also, part of it is like, a lot of the masked wrestlers and the wrestlers who are Latino, a lot of them are, like, dudes from Mexico who don't necessarily speak a lot of English, which is fine because they also do subtitles. But within a match... You do kind of want, you know, if you notice, they're Rudos. They're either white dudes who are talking a whole lot, or they're Latino dudes in masks who don't say shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few where it's people who can do kind of both, like Marty the Moth.
Right.
I don't want to say that there's like no one who can do that. But because a lot of these guys are like these legendary luchas or like sons of legendary luchas, because of that, a lot of them, you know, English isn't necessarily their first language. And so I do think there is also a benefit if you're going to have a team of people who are talking shit, you're going to have it be. And plus, I do think that is part of it, is this idea that, like, no, we're Worldwide Wrecking Crew. We have come to destroy everything you have, and we're going to take it and make it like our own. And Taya.
Colonizers.
Yeah. And Taya, one of the great things about her is she's essentially the China of that group, where she's like, even if those dudes are being cowards, she will go in and she will fuck anybody up. Like, that is her thing. Even if she gets slammed, even if she does anything else, she will go in and she will take charge. And that's one of the best parts of her character. And also that she looks like that cat lady from Darksiders. But that's just, I like video games. And so, were there any kind of specific moments that you really got into?
There were a couple of chain spots, which I know are sort of lucha pieces. There was just a lot of really good athletic stuff. It was hilarious to me that every time somebody kicked, it was either the acoustics of the room, but their leg slaps were so loud, which I know also from the limited amount of lucha, like, is like, I don't know what, if they had a slapstick in their pants or what they're doing.
Are you happy to see me?
Yeah. Or both.
I think a lot of it is the acoustics of the room. That temple is so much smaller in person.
It looks like a very small room.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller in person.
But the ring looks a little bit larger. It looks like a pretty big ring.
No, it's a regular ring, and then just a, and then everything else is kind of crammed in there.
Oh, I also really like the way they shot it. That jib arm shot, the crane shot, is great. And a lot of their other shots were terrible because they were missing important stuff, what felt like left and right. Like, they've got the overhead shot, which is great for seeing some of those aerial maneuvers, especially things that are flippy, twisty, a Hurricane Rana or a Tornado DDT. Mm-hmm. But then there would be something really important happening, and it would be someone in the corner, mat level, but far away so that the ropes would be obscured. Like, it was just... It was uneven. That was kind of frustrating.
Yeah, they kind of shoot that stuff with the idea that they're going to, like, put it together later.
Right.
Which is...
They chose the best shots all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those shot choices are questionable.
That's fair. I could see that, because you don't just have, like, this kind of static thing and then some dudes running around.
Yeah. Oh, but, sorry, favorite thing was Joey Ryan coming down and chaining himself to the fence.
Joey Ryan has handcuffed himself. Listen, I get it. Joey can't be pinned while he's out there. It's a wise strategy, but
how can he eliminate anyone when he's handcuffed?
Dude, what do you call a baby cat? Exactly. It starts with a P. Joey Ryan.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, that's one of the best moments
Is he a heel? Is he a Rudo?
He's got to be.
He's
a heel.
Joey Ryan.
He's a sleazy guy.
He's just sleazy Joey Ryan. I don't think you can necessarily, like, his thing is he is... let's see. He is an undercover cop who is there to, like, investigate everything that's happening in the temple. Because, of course, if you bring Joey Ryan in, of course you bring him as a sleazy undercover cop.
Yeah.
And so no one knows that he's a cop, but he's there. And he's also, like, working with other people for, like, nefarious things.
What?
I know. It's good. So what did you think, Mike? That was one of your favorite moments?
I mean, yeah, because the other Aztec Warfare match I watched, he did the same thing.
No,
of course it doesn't work. And I think in the second one I watched, he came out and did it immediately. And then I think, like, Matanza or somebody else came out next. So he just started freaking out, like, immediately.
Tried to get him out of him. And he, like, couldn't get out.
And I loved every time somebody kicked him or punched him while he was chained to the wall. Yeah. I was a real big fan of that. I really enjoyed King Cuerno, who I was unfamiliar with. He seems like such a good worker.
Yep.
Like the whole hunter thing with the arrows all of that. I was like, oh, this guy is, like, really good.
And again, that's another thing that, because a lot of these performers don't speak a lot, which, and it's not just, again, because they're Mexican dudes. It's also because, you know, you're wearing the mask. You don't really talk when you're wearing the mask. Some of them do. Some of them don't. They do a lot of that cool kind of stuff with their bodies that lets you know shit. Like, yeah, I'm a fucking hunter and I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Which is really neat. Were there any other performers you were super into?
I loved how they built Matanza. I really like, and I didn't realize that was the match where he was introduced as a character.
Yes.
And me following the indies and PWG, like, I knew who that was immediately when he did his first move. But it's funny because I've seen that guy wrestle without a mask a ton. I've stood next to this guy. On that show, he looks like legit 5 feet taller. Just him wearing a mask and being presented that way. He just looks hella more huge. So I was really into him as
well. So y'all know the deal with Matanza, right?
No.
So the deal with Matanza is that he's Dario Cuarto's brother
right.
that he used to keep in the first season. I'm not going to do too much. Yeah, he kept him
Silence
of the Lambs
style.
Yeah. So he's like the evil brother. And so, like, now he's loose and he's here to, like, fucking destroy some
shit. I loved at the end when he won and Dario handed him the belt and he looked at it like he didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is this?
For a second, I was like,
give me meat or something, you know?
Do you have a sandwich? Like, no, but that, you know, like, little stuff like that I thought was really great.
Were there any performers that you saw that you were really into?
Yeah, I liked a lot of them. Prince Puma was great. Rey Mysterio looked really good. Matanza looked really good. Johnny Mundo looked fantastic. They all looked really strong. There was nobody in it that I thought was a bad worker.
Right.
Like, definitely the work rate was there. It was great. I was a little bit confused because Dario Cuarto got a huge pop.
He did.
He's returning.
Huge pop.
He's
returning,
face.
Yeah.
But Matanza got a ton of heat.
Because
then Cuarto was like, here's your belt.
And then that didn't get, like, then that got heat, but I don't get, like, who, is he still a face now, Dario Cueto?
Dario Cueto is neither a face, no, he is not, he is Dario Cueto. But he is a force of nature.
The crowd will tell you whether he's a face or a heel.
But everyone's
put
over.
Put that aside for a second.
That's true, just, but like, everyone's over.
Right,
Lucha,
Vince was over, but he got heat all the time.
I would say that Dario Cueto is a heel. If I had to say that he was anything, I would call him a heel.
He's definitely a heel.
Yeah.
So it's the crowd that's the problem?
The crowd's just happy to be there, man.
I do think it was a Vince thing. Like, anytime Vince shows up on Raw, people are going to pop.
Yeah.
Even though he's a heel.
But there was a time where he just got heat all the time.
Right.
He was always booed.
But
now...
But Cueto was gone. That's the whole thing.
So he came back.
Yeah, and I think that's a return pop.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Because when the other shows I've seen, he wasn't. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually seen him in the temple, though. I always see him in, like, the backstage things. But it's never something where people are reacting to.
No, okay, he comes out to the temple when there's, like, some important shit to announce. But usually he's just kind of chilling in his office, and you have some stuff to say. You just go hang out in his office. Which is just open, I guess, for people to go into. So was there anything on the show that you thought, compared to WWE, they did better?
I mean, I think the match design itself is somewhat superior to the Royal Rumble design.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I would say, is better. And I want to say, and it might be because of the design, but I think... using an entire episode to tell the story of one match and the kind of detail that went into that story, I felt was really, really strong. And I don't know if WWE would be able to do that. But I think it is a reflection of the benefit of them having characters in masks who they can completely build stories of from the ground up. Where, like, in WWE, you know, you they're not always afforded that luxury.
Right, and even established characters and people who have been around other promotions, you come in here and you immediately get thrown into, like, a new fucking story where there's magic and shit.
Right.
And, like, gemstones and whatever. So no matter what, when you get to the temple, yo shit wasn't magic before, but yo shit magic now.
Yeah. I have to disagree with you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't prefer it to the Royal Rumble, the reason being the fact that the Royal Rumble only has one way that you can win means that if Big Show is in there, the only way you are going to beat Big Show is for you to work with a bunch of other people to throw him. You have to get him over the top rope and get both feet on the ground. And if it's just the two of you, then that's even harder to do. If you're in an Aztec Warfare match, which I'm not talking down, you can just hit him in the head with a brick five times till he's knocked out and then pin him.
Yeah,
I like
you
that.
Can.
I like it too. I like the storytelling of it. But to me, it's similar to Royal Rumble. It's to me, it's sort of like a Royal Rumble... had a child with what do they call those scramble matches?
Gauntlet.
Like a gauntlet.
Match. Okay,
it's like a gauntlet match.
It's
a Royal Rumble and a gauntlet match, which I like. I think it's really clever. I think their in ring work is fantastic. I don't, you know, you're not seeing that kind of work, that kind of lucha style being done a ton in WWE.
Right.
They just don't do it. They've never really done it well. They've had a luchador every now and then. They didn't even do it as well as WCW did.
WCW
back
did
in their
way
day.
Better. Yeah, yeah.
So hats off to them. I like it. I certainly would watch more. I would love to see an edit where I don't have to watch any of the backstage stuff. It really takes me out of it. And then the in-ring stuff is really fun. Like, I could follow the story if I didn't have to think about that woman who apparated out of nowhere is like, your time and blah, blah,
blah.
Well,
because she's
blah, blah.
So she's deaf.
Yes.
That's kind of her thing.
Right.
Her thing is that she's deaf.
Yeah.
And she licks people's noses.
Right. Does not appeal to me, but I love the movie.
She licks people's noses?
She does like a kiss of death. She licks your face.
Oh, lovely. Sure.
She's
of course
like,
she
Wah.
Does.
And then sometimes it's just your nose, and that's weird.
That's fun.
I love Tango and Cash. I know not everybody likes Tango and Cash, and I'll defend it for myself till the day I die. But I also could recognize... hey, maybe this isn't for everybody.
Yeah, I think that there might be a few matches that are like this where they're kind of like the longer ones or something like that that I think that you would get into. Like any of the tournament stuff you would probably get into. Gift of the Gods you might find really fun. I think you would enjoy All Night Long, which is a match which is literally like the entire, it's like their Iron Man match. It's all night long. I don't remember why the kayfabe version of it is, but it's because... Prince Puma as Ricochet used to come out to All Night Long, right. All Night. And so they named a match after that.
Oh, wow. What's his face?
Rich Swann.
Yeah, because they were a team. They were a tag team, remember? Oh,
no, I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, they were a team.
Okay.
Yeah, they were great.
See, I'm not hip.
One time they came, and when they would separate, like, Ricochet would have different music. Like one time he came out to Bye Bye Little Sebastian at PWG, and that was great.
No, look, these are all talented wrestlers. I would certainly watch more.
Sweet. Yeah, I think we'd have to just find you some episodes where you don't have to worry about who's wearing the gauntlet or where the mystical rock went or if that... these are all real things I'm saying.
But I also think that, like, in terms of that, the Aztec Warfare matches are probably the best thing to watch for
right.
you. Like, anything other than that is going to be a ton more talking.
I'm sure. But, like, look, I don't think WWE is perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I think they do dumb shit all the time. I think Bray Wyatt making bugs appear on the ring.
Oh, my God.
I wanted that to work.
I did too, but guess what? It doesn't. It's a fucking projector.
I think that if Randy sells that, then that works.
I don't.
Yeah, but he didn't.
I think
he was never going to.
He'd have to sell it, and he'd have to be losing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I overcame light to win this match. Some light and some different shades. Like, and that one is one where that shit didn't work, and the match didn't work. At least this one, I did not like the intro for, because I'm just watching it going, what? Which one of you am I supposed to be rooting for? What? It wasn't clear to me, but then once I watched the match, great.
Right.
Great match. Real fun. Would recommend.
Yeah.
Which is not, like, haven't I said that all along?
Yes.
The wrestling that I saw, I liked. The backstage stuff, I did not like.
Mm-hmm.
That has not changed as a result of watching this episode.
What do you think of the Mac?
The guy who does all the stunners?
Yeah.
He's great.
He's fantastic.
He's hilarious.
He's great.
It did feel a lot like you had he feels like a guy who is of the indies. And I don't say that in a bad way,
right.
But like he's a gimmick guy. He comes in, he hits his stunners. He's fun. People like him. And then once he does that, he's out. Would I want to watch him in a 60-minute Iron Man match or a 30-minute wrestling like a 30-minute Broadway? I do not know.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you that you would.
I would. Great. I'd love
because
to see it.
Because he's had a couple of really long matches that have been super fun. Of course, when he does those, you start to get into more of the, like, people getting hit with bricks and falling off tall shit and a lot of, like, the kind of hardcore-y stuff. People slipping around in beer, because he does drink beer.
Sure.
And all that kind of stuff. But it is really, really, really fun when he gets a chance to kind of do that. Another thing that someday I'm going to is I think I've talked about the Black Lotus Triad, but I would really like to.
Yeah, they're great.
Yes, you have the ladies.
Yeah. Yes. Enjoy having y'all watch that. Any other thoughts about the episode that you would like to share?
I enjoyed it. I could do more Lucha Underground homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah. So if I gave y'all, like, because I've already got a Misandry Corner. So if I did, like, a Lucha Corner where, like, once a month I was like, watch this thing.
I don't know about once a month.
That's a lot.
Just like not a full episode, literally.
Okay, great.
Like,
I'm in.
Yeah, sure. No. It wouldn't be like a full episode, but it would maybe be like, hey, here's a match. Watch this thing.
Or
here's this
thing. I'll watch a match.
Watch this. And then maybe occasionally I'll be like, hey, Aztec Warfare's coming up. We got to.
I'm down for Aztec Warfare every time, I think. Having seen two of them, I'm like, I like this match.
I would watch two more based on the one
you would watch
I've
two
seen.
More?
Yeah,
so
sure.
What did you like about Aztec Warfare 3? You talked a little bit about that, Mike.
Again, it was just the concept. And not having seen it recently, I don't remember every little, you know, the details of it that
course.
I like so much. But just that I like that concept as a match and a way to tell a bunch of different stories and kind of, in a sense, introduce every character to me and all the storylines they're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, you know, like a quick way, you know?
I don't know if it would ruin it, but I would love to see that show done with WWE's production value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, great sound, a better play-by-play commentator.
Wait, okay, no. let's Let's talk about the play-by-play, right?
Striker's play-by-play. Yeah. Whoever the hell that other dude is.
Vampiro.
Oh, Vampiro, yeah.
It's Ian.
God.
Oh, that's Vampiro.
That's Vampiro.
Yeah, not interested.
He's not a good commentator. I think Striker's awesome. I think Matt Striker's awesome.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, I think Vampiro leaves a lot to be desired.
Vampiro be saying some stuff where I'm like, you don't even know what you was talking about. You started a sentence and you had no idea where that sentence was going to go, and then y'all just kept it.
Yeah.
But here, an important thing to know about Vampiro, and part of the reason why he was getting so cranky that Pentagon Jr. was not on there, is when he kept talking about my master, my master, my master. And I'm Vampiro is his master. And I believe he gets a new master at a certain point, but that was one of the big reveals at the end of season one, was that Vampiro, a.k.a. Ian,
that was a good story.
Yeah, is his master. And what? Like,
it was good. The way he did it was good. It was a swerve.
Because he's just on the announce team, and then all of a sudden he's getting up and they're breaking arms and stuff, because that's like Pentagon Jr.'s thing. So, like, break your arm. That's like his stuff.
Why couldn't he stay away from that mic? I would rather see Matt Stryker call a match with a Teddy Ruxpin.
So what did you enjoy about about Matt Stryker's commentary?
I just think he wants to get you invested in what's going on, which I think a good play-by-play person does. I think it's what JR did. I don't think Vince McMahon was a great play-by-play guy, but it's what Mauro Ranallo does, where he like gets you excited, wants to get your emotion into it, and helps tell the story, helps enhance the story that's going on. I do not like when a color commentator it feels like they're going to business for themselves.
Right.
And I don't know that I could say that 100%, but I do know that it was like, well, this guy is not, if Matt Stryker is annoying.
Annoying.
He's annoying. His personal life's at a nine. personal life's at two. But if he's like a nine on the mic, then I would put Vampiro like four.
Oh, what did you think?
Four or five.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, man. He stunk. And he typically stinks on, you know, in terms of commentary. I like him as a character. I was a fan of the old work and all of that. But, yeah, as a commentator, not great. He reminds me of, like, Steve Corino when Steve Corino was doing Ring of Honor. Like, I love Steve Corino. He was not a good commentator.
Right. You know?
And he was also involved in storylines, too. It was just too much.
Yeah, I like Vampiro. Like, I like him a lot. I like him on, I mean, I don't know about, like, the backstage stuff and whatever malfeasance he might be involved in. But I know that I like him as a character. I like him doing stuff. They did a huge redemption story where he went crazy and, like, had to be rehabilitated and all that stuff. And that was really, really interesting. But, as an announcer, I guess for me, it's kind of like, y'all do this so far in advance. When he botches stuff or says stuff wrong, like with us, I say shit wrong all the time, and I'm not going to say that I don't. I'm always saying stuff wrong. My brain still hurts from a thing that happened, and I just can't remember everything all the time, so sometimes I slip up and I say different things. But, like, we record, and then we go up tomorrow, whereas with them, it's like somebody edited that, and they just let that stay in there. You could have brought them in for a quick-ass ADR.
Right.
You could have brought them in and had them fix some of that stuff.
Maybe they did.
Ooh.
Woof.
No, you don't know. Maybe they were like, well, this is the best we're going to get, or it's just not worth it to go back and get. Maybe that may be the case. So they're like, we don't want to ADR. We just want to get everything live, and making mistakes is part of life.
And that's true.
I can't fault them for that. Because that gives it a live feeling, at least.
That is
true. Even though it is pre-taped.
So now I'm putting you guys on the spot, because we only got a couple minutes left in this bonus episode. I'm going to ask you to put over one thing from the episode.
I put over a ton of shit already.
Nope. Do another thing. You're officially put something over.
I put over Drago for being fucking horrifying.
Yeah, and he's a real dragon. Oh, well, by the way, Hal, Drago's a real dragon. Okay.
Of course he is.
Hal, what would you like to put over?
I think this happened. I would have put over Rey Mysterio tapping somebody out to an armbar. Did he do that? He put somebody in an armbar.
I'm pretty sure that happened.
Didn't he?
I have to remember. There's like 20 people in that
match. Fuck, Joey Ryan. I'm just going to put Joey Ryan over. Sure. Not just Joey Ryan chaining himself, but every single bump he took while he was chained to that fence.
Yeah.
So how are you saying that everybody in a mask looks the same to you?
Oh!
All I know is when I see a mask, I lock the doors to my car. I have to say safe. To be honest, though, outside of Prince Puma and Rey Mysterio, who I knew, I didn't know any of the guys in masks. Mm. So after a while, I got like all right, that's also a guy in a mask.
Yeah.
And that's also a guy in a mask. And they're all really talented mm-hmm. luchadors. So having only seen them once in this match, there was very little outside of like the Hunter, like those little things. Mm-hmm. And I could not, if you put those guys in a lineup right now and took Ricochet out, because he's got that rock tattoo of the lion or puma on his titty.
It says, like, be fearless or some shit.
Yeah.
The Nikki Bella tattoo.
It's a Nikki Bella rock Lion Witch of the Wardrobe C.S. Lewis tattoo. Mm-hmm. If you took him out and Rey Mysterio out, I might not. It would take me a second, like, all right, the green one's the dragon.
Right.
The red one is the guy from outer space.
He's the guy from outer space. And I do think that is, because they assume that you know a lot of these guys, because these are guys who are known guys,
right.
I do think they take for granted and they could probably do. But as you watch the show, you get a little bit better at kind of understanding who everybody is. But just someone coming in on it, it would be really hard for you to kind of get it. Maybe a Chiron?
They did what they could.
Yeah.
Chiron would be great. You know, a lot of it is production stuff. It's not, look, it's up to me. I need to be smart enough as a fan. Like, it's not, they don't owe me shit. But I will say, if you're trying to build an audience,
they did have Chiron,
you have to bring them in.
Did they?
I think they did.
I think they did
just in the beginning, and then it would have been. Anyway, so I am going to put over that I got to talk about Lucha Underground with my friends.
Oh.
Yes. Hey.
Friends forever.
We'll be friends.
Hey, be friends.
Talking about
friends forever.
Be there.
Fake Zach sounded so funny.
The Zach attack is here.
The Zach attack.
The singing is a different bonus episode. We're giving them way too much of one bonus episode and another bonus episode. I just want to say that I know it probably seems like I was being a little harsh on Lucha Underground. Fucking strap in. It's never going to end. No, it was fine. It's good. Even if it's not my cup of tea, like I would love to watch matches from it because I like watching good wrestling matches.
Awesome. So that's a thing. That's another thing that's going to happen. Look, guys, look what came out of this episode.
See?
So
you did this.
Yeah. So thank y'all so much for coming and sitting and watching and doing the stuff. And thank you, audience, for watching and listening and doing stuff. I'm tired. Can you tell me?
You're doing great. You're great.
That's okay. I'm doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. But thanks once again for listening to us at Tights and Fights. I am Danielle Radford. I am here in the booth with Hal Lublin and Mike Eagle. Our producer is Julian Burrell. There's a bunch of other names I'm supposed to say, but
senior
I didn't get a list.
Senior producer at Max Fun, Laura Swisher.
Thank you. Senior producer at Max Fun is Laura Swisher. Our music is done by Mike Eagle, and then Julian put smart words here, but he didn't give them to me. But thank you, Mike.
Winner, winner, fidget spinner. Julian Burrell.
Some being seduced again.
Double seduction.
Facebook.com/group/tightsfights.
And don't forget to visit us at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you can find us on Twitter at tightsfights. If you like our stuff, don't forget that you can like and subscribe over on that other place where you hit the
Apple
stars.
Podcasts.
On the iTunes podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. Are you just going to keep saying things until I'm waiting for one of them to be wrong. Is what I'm waiting for.
He's deciding.
What?
I'm still deciding.
I'm still deciding. Hal's still deciding if he should say something that's
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio Jr. 619.
Pentagon Jr.
Cero Miedo. Okay.
Cero Miedo.
Cero Miedo.
Marco Mero. Marco
Mero. Bye.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.